Hello, and welcome to the Bell House. I'm Jacob.
And I'm Amy.
Psalm 100 says, Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth.
Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs.
Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of the pasture.
Enter the gates with thanksgiving, and the courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name.
For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations.
So now is the time to worship our God to get together. Let's go.
Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to our service of worship. We gather as the people of St. Field Road in our homes together, though still apart. But more than that, we gather as all of God's people around the world today to worship him, to share with him what's on our hearts as we pray, and to hear his voice speaking to us today. So, shall we talk to him together? Let's pray. Father, we come to you this morning, into the presence of the great God, the Lord of all this earth. We come to you, the good God, the shepherd who knows each of us by name, the God who sees us, and who cares deeply and personally for each of us. We come to you, our God, the one who claims us as his own. We come to you, the God who is perfect in love, whose faithfulness continues through all generations, whose grace is without end. Father, in a world that is ever-changing, at a time when things still remain uncertain or confusing, we praise you that your love, your grace, your faithfulness is unchanging throughout history, from generation to generation. As you were with Abraham, so you are with us. Father, you're amazing, but we confess that we're not. At times, we're really not like you at all. We don't always act like true sons or true daughters of the Lord Almighty. Even this week, we've been worried and stressed and questioning rather than trusting. We've been busy and distracted rather than attentive to your voice. We've been unkind and thoughtless, even to those we love the most. We haven't shown the grace that you've shown us in Jesus. We've tried to find our meaning and our identity in our careers, our exam grades, our possessions, rather than in you. Father, we're weak and we're sinful, but that's no mystery to you. You love us all the same. So thank you for your amazing grace. Thank you for Jesus who makes us right with you. Please forgive us in his name. And this morning we come the only way we can, just as we are in this moment. Lost people in need of a saviour. Lost people in need of the direction of our Lord. And as we come to worship, seeking you, wanting to hear your voice above the inner noise and above the clatter from the world around us, remind us that Jesus is our greatest treasure. Open our eyes this morning and help us to see you. Help us to gladly choose you now. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Well, I'm grateful to everyone who contributes to our worship. We all are. To have such a wide variety of people contributing to our worship week upon week, and particularly to the Bell family this week, who seem to be doing an awful lot in our service, and we're thankful for them especially. I'm just here to remind you of a few things that are coming up. Coffee and catch-up is after the service, and the details are there. Come and join us to see a few faces and enjoy meeting up with a number of others as best as we can at the moment in fellowship. The next Sunday evening at 7 o'clock, we're going to try another evening Zoom time of worship and reflection, being together live. There'll be music, chat, prayer, and time in groups. Come and join us for that. And don't forget about Alpha Online as well, which we'll also advertise and put details up over Facebook too. It's a great chance to discover or rekindle Christian faith for you or someone you know, to listen and ask questions in a really welcome online environment. E20M is on with Sarah McCulloch, but now it's time for Who Lives in a House Like This.
This reading is taken from Luke chapter 19, verses 1 to 10. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost." Amen.
Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Bell House. Did you manage to spot it on the screen earlier? Pat on the back if you managed to do so. Really looking forward to opening up God's Word with you this morning and seeing what happens whenever Jesus visits his next house on Luke Street, the Cheat's House. But first, a little activity to make sure our brains are fully warmed up. Some of you might know that I used to study psychology, and one of my favourite modules was perception, the way that we think about, process and organise information in our heads. One of the funnest parts was doing things like perception puzzles. You may have seen these things before, but here's a couple on the screen of the most familiar. Why don't have a look and tell me, what do you see? Feel free to pause and have a disagreement with those around you. First of all, what about this one? What do you see? Do you see a man playing a saxophone? Or a woman's face? What about this one? Is that an old woman? Or is it actually a young girl? What about this one here? Is it a candlestick? Or is it two people who have forgotten about social distancing? Okay, one more. What do you see in this one? Do you see good or evil? Isn't it strange that two people can look at exactly the same picture and see two completely different things? Sometimes you can see two things, but rarely both at the same time. But actually, what we see and what we believe to be true shapes our lives. It shapes our reality and how we live. Last week I was watching a great movie, The Truman Show. Great movie starring Jim Carrey. You may have seen it. Now, there's no spoilers coming here, but the basic premise of the movie is that a man called Truman Burbank is the unsuspecting star of a reality TV show. It's broadcast around the world 24/7. Truman has spent his entire life in a seaside town, which is in fact an enormous man-made dome. 5,000 cameras, they capture his every move, and all of the residents, including his wife, his best friend, his mother, are all actors. The TV show, Christoph, played by Ed Harris, he tries to capture Truman's every emotion on camera so he can boost his ratings. And in fact, he tries to control all the variables of Truman's life. And during an interview about the show, Christoph is asked, how has Truman not questioned his reality? How has he not realised what's going on? To which he replies, we accept the reality of the world with which we're presented. It's as simple as that. It's quite the statement, isn't it? I'd like us to hold on to that as we make our way through our encounter today with Jesus on Luke Street. As Luke helps us to encounter four types of people and in the process to help us see ourselves more clearly. Miss a go, you know.
The reverse
guard,
maybe
so.
Can't play.
Alan! Yeah! hold on.
Wait, what? You're a cheat, Daddy!
Nobody likes a cheat, do they? Well, here we're introduced to our first character. A corrupt little tax collector called Zacchaeus. Perhaps you sang a song about him when you were a child. Zacchaeus was a man, a very little man, and a very little man was he. No, just me. But here, Luke wants us not to focus on his height, but on his heart. You see, Zacchaeus is a little man with a big problem. He's lost. What do we know about him? Well, he had a house, probably a very nice one. He had a job, a despised one. You see, tax collectors worked for the Romans, the enemies. Tax collectors were considered traitors. They were also notorious for taking their own cut on top of what the Romans demanded. So they were seen as cheats and thieves and robbers. So when Luke describes Zacchaeus as a chief tax collector and wealthy, this isn't a compliment. He says Zacchaeus profited from being at the top of the corruption system. And as a result, Zacchaeus would have been rich but despised. I doubt anyone was stopping to have a chat on the street, to ask about his day. Certainly no one was inviting Zacchaeus around for coffee or dinner. There was no invite to the Alpha course for him. And we know his name was Zacchaeus, which ironically means pure or innocent. It shows the hopes that his parents must have had for him as a child. Oh, look at our wee Zac. How will he grow up to shape Jericho for the better? What irony that little Zac would grow up to have a life full of bribery, corruption, lining his nest. Zacchaeus the cheat, a little man with a big bank account. We also know that he was looking for something. He had a deep desire to see who Jesus was. Maybe he's a curious guy. Could he have heard about Bartimaeus' miraculous healing and restoration of his sight? Maybe he heard about Jesus' reputation of getting alongside tax collectors, treating them differently, how Jesus welcomed them, listened to them, ate with them. Maybe Levi's conversion story has travelled to Jericho. Or maybe it was just because when Zacchaeus lay in his bed at night, staring at the ceiling, thinking over all that his life had got for him, his fancy bed sheets, his amazing wardrobe, his big bank account, he realised that in reality he had nothing. He had everything he ever wanted, and yet under the superficial covering of his life, it all seemed so empty and meaningless. Something was missing. Others have recognised this within themselves. Jim Carrey, star of The Truman Show, once said, "I think everybody should get rich and famous and do everything they ever dreamed of so they can see that it's not the answer." Maybe for Zacchaeus, as he heard his name, he relived his parents' desires for him to be pure and innocent and righteous, and he realised he was anything but. Maybe he thought, "I can't keep living this way." The way our hearts confront us on our beds when we see the gap between where we are and where we need to be. We see a little man with a big problem that a big bank account can't solve. But what's for sure, he's drawn to Jesus with a deep desire, an irresistible urge to check out Jesus for himself. Not even a crowd is going to get in the way. And if he can't get a glimpse from the road, he'll find a different way. He'll hitch up his robes and ignore the awkward looks as he runs along the road in the blistering heat. He'd forget the embarrassment of being a grown man climbing a tree. He just had to get to Jesus. No matter what barrier was in his way, no matter what anyone else thought. And if you notice that urge within you today, that desire to see Jesus for yourself, That's a good sign. An indication that as Zacchaeus discovered, Jesus is actually looking for you. What happens next? This is when we discover that this is a story of two seekers. A small S seeker and a capital S seeker. What did Jesus see when he looked up in that tree? A cheat? A foolish rich man? A troubled soul desperate for a glance? A lost man? A little man with a big problem? It turns out that the least likely to be noticed, the most hindered in coming, is in fact the one that Jesus talks to first. Who's really looking for who here? Let me ask you. Do you ever feel like God doesn't see you? That if you were in that tree, he'd walk on past? Or that he might look and not know who you are? Or worse, that he would stop and call out all your bad choices in front of everybody? That's not our Jesus. That's not the reality with which we are presented in God's word. Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. Imagine that moment when the eyes of Christ meet the eyes of the cheat. He's looking at me. He knows my name. Jesus knows my name. It's true. Jesus knows our name, our address, and everything about it. Our hearts, our pains, our worries, our hopes, our dreams. And he comes to seek and to save lost people. I must stay at your house today. Jesus invites himself for dinner. And this isn't some sort of weird, cheeky request. In fact, I'm not even sure it is a request. But it's an act of sheer grace. No one wants to eat dinner with Zacchaeus. And Jesus is inviting himself today. Because when Jesus calls, it's always today. Never tomorrow. Always today. And in Zacchaeus's busy, isolated, restless, messed up little heart, something is going on there. There's a melody, a joyfulness. Zacchaeus hasn't worked out all his theology yet. But the warmth and the wonder of Jesus' love has captured him. And he no longer has to just see Jesus. He must be with Jesus. So he welcomes Jesus gladly. And that's the right response to Jesus' invitation. Unlike the rich young ruler. And unlike the rich young ruler who went away sad, Zacchaeus rushes towards Jesus with a smile on his face. For the first time, Zacchaeus is starting to see clearly. Luke now moves our focus to the crowd in verse 7. The complaining crowd. They are raging. Of all the people Jesus could have talked to, of all the homes he could have visited, he chooses Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus doesn't deserve Jesus to look at him, never mind dine with him. He's a traitor, a cheat, he's been ripping us off for years. Why does someone like Jesus, innocent, just, righteous, want to meet with someone like Zacchaeus? Surely God's job is to judge sinners, not eat with them. How does God actually see things? The crowd sees a cheat. Jesus sees a child. The crowd sees a sinner. Jesus sees a lost son. It's not that Jesus doesn't see the sin. It's like the perception puzzles from earlier. Jesus is able to see two things at once, sinner and saint. Who we are and who we will become as we put our trust in him. And he's come to seek and save the lost today. There's a challenge here, isn't there? A challenge in how we see others. I wonder, can we see ourselves in the self-righteous response of the crowd? Maybe we struggle to see others at all in our workplaces or our streets and even our families. Perhaps you might tend to stereotype, categorizing people by their sins. Ah, they're just a lazy drunk, a waster. They're a self-righteous bigot. They're a young offender. Perhaps we struggle to look past the sin to see the seeker, forgetting that we were all once like Zacchaeus. Or maybe those we find around us don't fit our mental picture of what a seeker should be. But just because people aren't asking searching questions doesn't mean they aren't seekers. Just because they seem to have it all together to be successful doesn't mean there's not an emptiness, there's not a looking for more. I wonder how many Zacchaeuses we overlook because we're simply not looking for them. Our role as a church is to point people to Jesus. The crowd says, you've got the change to come to Jesus. The church says, come to Jesus and get changed. So let's not make people climb trees to get to Jesus. Let's make a path for them to see him by the way we live and talk about him. Is there anyone you've been writing off? Anyone who you've been stereotyping by their sin? Who might you invite into your home and spend time with? Let's not make people climb trees to get to Jesus. Wouldn't you love to know what Jesus and Zacchaeus talked about at dinner? Where did they even start? Well, Luke doesn't record their chat around the table, but he does record Zacchaeus' change. And it's truly remarkable, a radical transformation. Now let's not let the familiarity of this story lessen its impact. This is a new guy, not a corrupt collector, but a changed crook. He resolves to give half of his wealth to the poor, half, and pay back four times what he's taken dishonestly, well above what was required by the law. He shows genuine faith and repentance go hand in hand, that they're inseparable, that the entry fee to God's kingdom is free, but the annual subscription is everything we've got. It also shows the radical, open-handed generosity that the Holy Spirit brings when Jesus visits our home, when sinners meet the Son of God, when the lost meet the Lord. He's no longer a little man with a big bank account. Following Jesus is a costly move for Zacchaeus, but he doesn't seem to care. Unlike the rich young ruler who walked away from the challenge, Zacchaeus has discovered that Jesus is the real treasure. He's all that he needs. Zacchaeus accepts the new reality he's been presented with. He faces up to the reality of who he is. He accepts a fresh start. Now he's able to see. Last year in Romania, we met a guy called Christian. A great guy, successful businessman, an elder in his local church that we served with in Timișoara. His children had come to the kids club, and to show his gratitude, he took all of the team out and paid for their McDonald's on our rest day. It was a very generous and touching act. And on the way home, I asked the pastor, Laszlo, about Christian's story. Oh, said Laszlo, he was in prison 10 years ago. What for, I asked. Oh, he was a drug dealer. Well, my mind started racing. What type of businessman is this guy? What money actually paid for my Big Mac today? But it turns out it was in prison that Christian re-examined his reality, that he recognized his need for Jesus, and he left his old life behind. What changes a guy like that from a notorious sinner and stealer and gangster to a generous giver? Only the grace of Jesus. So can I invite you to sit with Jesus this week and ask him what part of your life might Jesus be calling you to leave behind? An unhealthy relationship? A fear that binds us? sinful pattern, maybe even how we use our money, what might Jesus be asking us to leave behind? So we've seen the corrupt collector, the complaining crowd, the changed crook. Luke gives us one final look now at the compassionate Christ. Jesus is on the road to Jerusalem, the cross. He's about to present a new reality to the world. In verse 9, Jesus speaks to the cynic in this situation, the person who would throw mud at Zacchaeus' conversion, that would doubt his decision, that would sneer at his repentance, the person who'd want to bind him to his own labels. Jesus makes it clear that Zacchaeus is the real deal, a genuine disciple, a true son of Abraham, forever part of God's people. Jesus has answered the question, who then can be saved? Anyone, rich or poor, even the worst of cheats can become a child of God. Jesus has proved that a rich man can be saved and nothing is impossible for God. And in verse 10, Jesus wraps up this wonderful incident with his own short, sharp mission statement about his own identity and his purpose and work. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. This is the reality Jesus presents us with. We're all lost. You and me. He's previously taught about lost sheep and coins and sons. And to be lost means to be in the wrong place or heading in the wrong direction. And because of sin, humans have a lost relationship with God, a lost experience of God's love, and a lost destiny, eternal life with God. But what do we do when something important to us is lost? Your wallet, a wedding ring, a child? You go after it and you don't stop until you've got it back. The good news, the gospel, is that Jesus is the long promised and awaited good shepherd. The one who leaves the 99 to go seeking the one. Zacchaeus was determined to see Jesus, but that's nothing about how determined Jesus is to see us. Jesus has come to reverse the human condition. He's lived a full relationship with God, has delighted in God's love, and through the cross and his resurrection has defeated death. He also climbed a tree for us. He was sneered at by the crowd for us. The reason Jesus died is that we're lost and need to be found. We're not saved because we're smarter, more moral, or better than others, but because one day Jesus came to our tree and invited himself for dinner. That's the reality the Bible presents. Either we are Zacchaeus or we were Zacchaeus. Jesus is inviting himself into your home today. Today. Will you respond like Zacchaeus and receive him gladly as both Lord and Savior?
Through the darkness, your loving kindness tore through the shadows. Let us pray together. Lord, our God and Father, we come to you, and no matter how we feel, we come to you. We bring our thanks and praise to you, our Creator, Sustainer and King. Thank you that you are our strong tower, our rock eternal, our perfect peace. We praise your wonderful name. You are worthy. You are good. We thank you for answered prayer. We know that you do not need us to pray to you to move and work, but you listen to us and use the prayers of your imperfect people and answer according to your perfect will. May we appreciate this more in our lives, in the big ways where we can see you move, and in the little ways where we can hardly notice. May we pay attention to these in our lives. May we look for you more and find you in new ways and deepen our appreciation of you. We ask for forgiveness when we neglect this and put ourselves before you. May we dedicate ourselves to prayer, praise and thanksgiving, focusing less on ourselves and more on you. As John proclaimed, you must become greater, I must become less. May it be so. By filling our hearts and minds with thanksgiving and praise, may we overflow with your goodness and bear fruit in our lives. May we be fruitful in our families, our church, and in reaching out to others. We pray for the lost, all who need you, Jesus, in their lives but don't yet know you. May we see these people as you see them, dearly loved and precious children of God who are totally lost without you. Equip and embolden us so that we may speak up for you and share your love, grace and transforming power to those who need you. We remember the Alpha Course starting in the South Belfast Presbytery. May you be moving in the lives of those interested to sign up and be involved. May lives be changed. We pray for those not just in spiritual need, but those in material and financial need, especially those known to us. Many are suffering directly due to the effects of the pandemic. May they be able to speak up and ask for help. May they find the immediate help they need and build a secure future. Give them safety, draw close to them, and speak in their lives in real ways, using us, your people, as you need. We remember Storehouse and other local agencies working to support those in our areas. And those suffering for loss of employment, uncertainty about their jobs, bring them clarity, a plan, security and peace. God, may we all trust you as our ultimate provider. Lead our leaders now and as we move forward in this pandemic and in other areas in politics. Give them wisdom. We remember those who have had to endure the exams and results procedure this year. A-levels, GCSEs, BTECs. It has been more stressful and worrying than usual. May all those that receive results or are still waiting know your presence and guiding hand, no matter how good or bad the results. May they be able to trust that you are their creator and friend and have all the details of their lives in your hands. Help them realize that you are writing their story and are working for their good in all things. And may this draw them closer to you and encourage their faith. As schools go back this week, may you go with each teacher, child and young person. May they enjoy going back. May they benefit from learning and being with other children. Please keep them all safe. We thank you for the provision of for our children and young people this week, bringing them together in groups for Connect and the Red Summer Sessions. To be together, have fun and build fellowship once again. We thank you for the leadership team who have been so willing to serve you and our children and young people. May you bless each of them and the families they represent. May it focus all of their eyes on you. And as the future seems uncertain, continue to guide all how to continue this important ministry, especially for Ben, Johnny and Jill and the session. Guide the plans of how we will move forward for your glory in the lives of our children and young people. May we pray specifically for the plans to get us back to worship together in the right way and at the right time. Give much wisdom, discernment and clarity. We pray for those who are sick, in distress, experiencing loneliness, grief and other issues. We bring those to mind who we know and those we don't. Our wider world needs our prayers, and it's hard to know where to start. Ultimately, the whole world needs you. We pray for you to move and work powerfully to work in the lives of your people, including us, to bring good news, challenge injustice. May we be the salt and light. May your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. And now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work with us, to him be the glory in the church and in Jesus Christ through all generations, forever and ever. Amen.
His face shine upon you and see.